The Friday before Governor John Carney signed his stay-at-home order, the Jewish Community Center in Tallyville broadcast Shabbat over Facebook Live.
Shabbat shalom to all the children. Shabbat shalom to all the family.
I really appreciate you guys signing in. I appreciate you sending notes and posts on Facebook and on YouTube. And I'm so glad that we're all connected this way, because it really is important during this crazy time. Things are a little different right now.
With gatherings of more than 50 people banned by the governor earlier this month, then dropped to 10 Wednesday, congregations of various faiths are rethinking how they practice. Faisal Chowdhury is secretary of the Islamic Society of Delaware, a mosque in the city of Newark, which banned gatherings of more than 10 people several weeks ago. What have they had to change?
Yeah, unfortunately for us, everything. So we are actually the largest Islamic organization in Delaware. So even our daily prayer services attract more than 10 people, right? So, you know, some of the smaller mosques have been able to still continue, for example, daily prayers because they might not gather, the 10 people required. Or they're trying to enforce that, hey, after the ninth person, the 10th person can't enter, which is, a difficult call, if people come from far distances to come in and not be able to enter is obviously difficult. In our case, almost every single one of our prayer attracts more than 10 people. So unfortunately, we had to make that very hard decision where we said, due to the ongoing health crisis, as well as the ordinances that both the state and city have passed, we have to suspend, all the prayer services. And then we had our Friday prayer services, which, gather a very large amount. So even when the first set of rules went into effect that gathering of 50 people should, not be encouraged, we had to stop the Friday prayer service for the first time in our history here at ISD. So that was a painful decision. And then, as you mentioned, we have monthly halakas, which are basically a gathering of studying of religious topics. We have had to cancel that. And pretty much we had Sunday school, Saturday school, all those pretty much suspended for now.
The Friday prayer usually includes a 40-minute message from the imam, who now broadcasts shorter speeches live over the web.
We actually also uploaded a video of the imam himself saying it's religiously permitted, right, because the health of the community, supersedes a lot of the other traditions or guidance that we might have.
Even though technology is helping the community worship together, Chowdhury says some elements of in-person prayer services can't be replaced.
Key with any religion is the social aspect of the religion itself. Even in the religion, it's prescribed that you should pray together. Praying together in congregation is preferable to you praying alone, right? So obviously, you're giving up that extra bonus point, if you want to call it, right, mm-hmm. that you're not able to pray in congregation. For example, if you're a single person, obviously, if I'm home and I have my children, I can pray with them, and I would consider that to be my congregation. But if you're single, obviously, you're missing that opportunity, right? So you can't replicate that. And the second aspect is obviously the other interaction part is oftentimes, when you get together with the community, even after the prayers, that's the more social aspect of it, where people would just, inquire about the well-being of how they're each doing, right? And so the social aspect, that's not the mandated part, but again, that's something else you're obviously giving up. And to be honest, I think, a large part of our community is first generation, right? Where A, obviously, as I mentioned, religion itself is extremely, a social aspect. But on top of that, this is a place where they really feel, them coming together as a community too, right? Share stories and also, as I mentioned, inquiring how each other is doing. It's just the social aspect is just so core to a lot of these people coming from different parts of the world that I think that will be another thing that the community obviously is missing a lot.
Congregation Beth Emeth in Wilmington faces similar challenges going digital. Director of Lifelong Learning there, Rabbi Elisa Coppell, agrees there are some things that live-streamed services can't replace.
I think in some ways it can be more connecting, and I think there's something, I've seen a lot of comments from friends that services were great this morning. I got to stay in my PJs. I could eat my breakfast and have coffee while doing all this. And I think there's something intimate about that almost. And at the same time, you can't hear different people singing together because the way Zoom works, you can only hear one voice at a time. Also, there's a time delay, so communal singing doesn't really work, even if everyone's mic is on. So the being able to hear different voices together and the harmonies that are naturally created, I think we miss that, and hearing your own voice and someone else's voice coming together, I think that that's something we really can't replicate and can make it also harder to really feel like it's part of the service.
With Passover, as well as Easter and Ramadan coming up, faith groups will need to get creative.
So I know there's a lot of creative thinking going on right now in the Jewish community on what Passover looks like and the Passover Seder, which is usually a huge gathering in your home of family and friends, which just isn't possible right now. And for those of us on the spectrum of Jewish religion who are comfortable using electricity and technology on holidays, it's kind of easier for us because we can automatically move to Zoom. But there are conservative Jews and Orthodox Jews who are also making those considerations and figuring out, can we be authentic to our Judaism and at the same time find a way to be connected to people who we don't live with and to be able to have a communal celebration for people who live alone, and also figuring out what does that look like? How do we do all the rituals of the Passover Seder when everyone is spread out all over the place? How do we make it both connecting and real?
But the challenge is nothing Rabbi Kapel's community can't handle.
I think in a way, the Jewish people has always been good at adapting, and we've always been faced with lots of changes from the world and within the Jewish community. And in some ways, we're used to changing things with the times because we need to. And we have a concept of making rules in extraordinary circumstances. And I think everyone agrees that this is extraordinary circumstances.
And there are even some silver linings. Rabbi Kapel says the synagogue is putting out more programming over the internet than it previously did in person, and more people are tuning in.
People are able to try out different services. So I had a friend from a congregation I was at before this one who came to our adult learning last night because she misses learning with me. I know people who have tried praying from their couch at different services at a variety of synagogues because they want to see what that rabbi is saying or how that rabbi is doing it or how that cantor is singing that song.
Pastor John Hornberger of Bethesda United Methodist Church in Middletown says the video sermons he puts on Facebook are also reaching new ears.
I get nervous when I do it, to be honest with you, because I'm preaching to an empty room. And it does make me a little nervous doing it, but I don't think it replaces it. I'm thinking, though, that at the Bible studies that it's going to be bringing people here that would not come here because of distance. They wouldn't come to a Bible study, and more people I'm finding are not going out at night. They're not driving at night, even before this virus started. So I'm going to be reaching more people that I would not reach before because of distance and because of time.
But he worries access to computers or technological literacy may be a barrier for some congregants.
That is an issue. Because in my congregation here that I serve, I would say that maybe 60% of the people here, and it's a small congregation, would not be computer savvy. So that does restrict me from that. That's a problem.
And delivering Holy Communion presents another challenge. Earlier in the outbreak, Hornberger considered blessing wine and wafers in disposable cups and distributing them to congregants in a drive-thru, but decided against it. Even though religious gatherings and the time of social distancing are not quite the same, Pastor Hornberger, Chaudhary, and Rabbi Kapel agree they're still worth pursuing.
Having opportunities to connect right now is important, and I think religion is important always for people who connect to religion, and I think especially at times of challenge, it becomes particularly important. So as a Jewish leader and as a synagogue leader, I think it's important to make sure that our people still have our synagogue, even if we can't be in the building right now.
As Siegel JCC CEO Ivy Harlev said during the recent virtual Shabbat,
"We're bigger than our building. We're more than our bricks. We're a wonderful community, and we're staying connected. So if you have other ideas to stay connected, send them in."
Shabbat Shalom.
Sophia Schmidt, Delaware Public Media.